Our scripture this morning comes to us from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Hear me for a moment. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your word may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with the seal of the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as we love the children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. May God have blessed us in the reading and hearing of the word. A couple of weeks ago, our text also came from Ephesians, if you may remember. It does today. It was a great prayer of chapter 3 about how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And then last week came, and our focus was on the Old Testament reading, which was the story of David and Bathsheba, the nation of prophets, and the extraordinary faithfulness of this king. Murder, and adultery, and the abuse of power to do so. This week, we're moving back to Ephesians with our focus, and another text that requires our attention because it speaks strongly about what it means to lead a life worthy of our calling in Christ. By the way, the Old Testament reading for the week also comes from 2 Samuel, and is a continuation of the story of David. This week is about a revolt against King David that was led by his son Absalom, who in the process of that revolt was killed, and was deeply mourned by David, even though their life and their relationship with each other was troubled. The story of David speaks to us of perhaps the primary contradiction of human life, and certainly a contradiction that we as Christians experience, and that is that we live under grace and under sin at the same time, in a world troubled by sin. Paul encourages the Christians to be aware of this contradiction, using an illustration, and the illustration has to do with getting dressed. It talks about taking off the old person and putting on the new. Now, I know we didn't exactly read that this morning, but if we had expanded our text by just a few verses, we would have. We wear ourselves like clothing. Take off the old and put on the new. Put on the new person, created to be like God in righteousness and in holiness. One of the trends of the baby boomer generation, which I think is my generation, although I always was a little confused by it, because I am a baby boomer, I came on at the tail end of it. But I feel like I'm more associated with that than the next generation, whatever that was. But nonetheless,
one of the trends in religious life is that we all grew up getting dressed up to go to church on Sunday and then leaving things casual. We decided that we weren't comfortable getting so dressed up every Sunday, and so we dressed down a little bit, in some cases a lot. There are churches now where we can wear beach attire. So I think it might be a little bit of an extreme in the other direction. But part of the reason why we did that is it wasn't always easy for people to get dressed up. Many people, especially in working class environments, don't have enough money to buy expensive suits and new dresses all the time. And so they didn't like going to churches where they had to dress up. And I was talking to my father on the phone just yesterday, and he was reminiscing about the churches in the capital of Oklahoma when he was growing up. So apparently this might not have been a baby trend. And he said there were 5 Southern Baptist churches in the Calister. And if you wore a suit, you went to the First Baptist Church. But there were other churches in town where you didn't necessarily have to get dressed up. But it occurs to me, taking that into consideration, that there is some value in having a different attire for Sunday morning, because it acts out this idea that Paul has taught us. Changing our clothes, which means changing ourselves, cleaning up, being presentable before God. But of course, it's not a superficial example. So for a moment, this morning, let us consider what the old self is. Now, since Paul's readers had apparently mostly been Gentile, he associates the old person to their familiar life among the pagans. Paul says that the believer should not live as a Gentile in the futility of their thinking. He says that they are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality, right? So as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Perhaps one of the easiest things for us to do is to think of this sensuality in sexual terms. And I'm sure that that is part of what Paul meant by it. But we should take caution, because there is, to be sure, also more to it than that. As a matter of fact, Paul addresses the issues related to his claim about the Gentiles and the futility of their thinking and the hardening of their heart. And in a sequence of texts in this letter that lasts nearly 2.5 chapters, and in those 2.5 chapters, he has one sentence about sexual immorality. Maybe a couple of words here and there in addition to that. He devotes the rest of his time to other things. Now, the reading that we just read today doesn't cover them all, but it does give us a pretty good summation about what it means to have an old way of life that needs to be put off. He begins with falsehood, which is just a word for lying, for being dishonest. Then he turns to anger, and then slothfulness, although he doesn't use that word, he just talks about people who are not willing to work, pull one's own weight. And from there, he proceeds to loose speech, and goes on to bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, and every form of malice. Later, if you move down into Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about greed at length. He mentions drunkenness and debauchery. as an aside, I think it's good to say a few words about loose speech. And the reason is just simply because we live in a trash talk world. And I think maybe it's gotten a little out of hand. Our public discourse is quite frankly reprehensible. It's extreme and mean-spirited. And when we as Christians read a text like this where we are told to let no loose speech come out of our mouths, but his insistence on being helpful and encouraging and wholesome in our speech, not mean or foolish or coarse, seems to me especially relevant in our times. This was a hard lesson to teach my children. I don't know if it had been different if they had been girls. They were born and they liked to play football. Which means they like football. Trash. And sometimes, maybe they even got out of hand in their relationships with each other. It's a challenge to read the scripture that was written so long ago that speaks so relevantly to us in our own time. These are the ways of the old self, to be put off like a soiled garment at the end of the day, in order to be made new in the attitude of our own life, and to put on a new self. And Paul writes about what that means to me. The most striking feature, I think, of Paul's thinking is this most remarkable statement, be imitators of God. Now, I can't just let that go as if we can say that without being struck by the intensity of that demand, or at least the extent of it. We're not being asked for much. Just be like God. To imitate someone, you see, means that over time we will end up becoming like them, thinking like them. And it's a stretch for human beings. And that's also even intent, that over time we might grow up and be like God. Not perhaps in power or majesty, maybe not even in righteousness and holiness, which he mentions, but in an answer to the mind, a way of thinking about life, a life orientation toward God. And then he talks about what it means to put on that new self. Be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other, and then Christ, God has forgiven you. Be imitators of God, therefore, dear beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So, compassion, kindness, forgiveness, love, and sacrifice. These are what it means to imitate God. Think about it. Listen daily to the words and let them sink in. I thought about saying, write them on a piece of note paper and stick them to the refrigerator with one of your refrigerator magnets so that you see them every time you open the door. Then I thought, well, 2018, time into the computer, print them out. Who might be? But expose yourself to these words every day, or maybe even have two lists. Then one list is the old, and it's all about dishonesty and anger and slothfulness and greed and loose speech. Obscenity, immorality, and on the other list, put the themes that are the new self, compassion and kindness and forgiveness and love and sacrifice, and allow yourself to be affected by just words every day. There's nothing here about being smarter than anyone else or being better. being a better athlete than a police, or a musician, or being better at making money, or grades, or anything like that. The interesting thing about honesty and compassion and kindness and forgiveness and love and sacrifice is that anybody can do that. All these things are attainable for even the most humble and modest among us. And yet, there are also impossible without God's help. That is the silliness of the whole concept of imitating God. And I struggled for a while with whether I should use the word silliness, but I decided to use it because it strikes me, in a way, the whole concept of imitating God being this ridiculous. It is both attainable in the sense that anyone can do it, and unattainable in the sense that we are all under sin and can't seem to manage it. But at the same time, what Paul is doing is giving us the way by telling us to take off the old and put on the new. So let's not focus on the difficulty of the past, imitating God. Let's just notice the difference. The difference between the new and the old way. The old way, the old person is focused on himself. The new person is focused upon God. The old is selfishness and grief, hate and anger, and the fear of others who turn out to be considered adversaries. And the other is compassion and love and forgiveness and sacrifice, which means that we consider others to be friends. And if there is a second focus, there is something else to think about this morning as we read this text, then let's listen to me the idea of getting dressed. Because we do that every day. And getting dressed must be done every day. Putting on the new self is a continuous, intentional act that lasts throughout the course of life. If it is treated as a once and for all time event, then we will inevitably find ourselves dressed in the sad, stained garment of a former life. One will find it hard, I think, to separate the attempt to be a better person from the life of piety. I thought about not into that work too. Nobody thought that way anymore. Who said piety or piety? Except for being self-righteous and holding your vows. But I decided to use it anyway, even though it is an old, stuffy, worn-out religious word, I'm not happy with the attempt to replace it. By piety, I mean a thoughtful, reverent, thankful approach to life and to God. I do not mean a self-righteous approach to God. Or to life. The life of the pilot is a life where there is a serious attempt made to take off the old and put on the new. And you can call it anything you want, but that's what it is. Christianity has offered us the life of private devotion as well as public devotion. Prayer, the study of Scripture, worship with other believers, praise and thanksgiving, and service, the giving of ourselves as a sacrifice daily, giving of our time, our energy, our money, giving of ourselves. These are the ways of nourishing the life of the Spirit, and they also have a new way of imitating God, putting on the new self. The example of David is a good example, and it strikes me, and perhaps the reason why we don't go to the lectionary, put these texts in Ephesians side by side with the Old Testament story from 2 Samuel about David, it's because David makes a good example for us to follow. As worse, when he was full of himself and neglecting the pride of life, he was helpless, greedy. He was an abuser of power, a murderer, and an adulterer, in an extreme way that most of us would never do. Perhaps not even if we had the opportunity. And in fact, when he lived under the daily acknowledgement of the presence of God in his life, he was a person, we are told, after God's own heart. And he can be a person after God's own heart. And so can you. And always remember that this imperative to be imitators of God comes in the context of a grace that has already been given, sacrifice that has already been made, a love that has already been known, so that we are not being held to the standards that we can't keep, but being led on to a life better lived, a life worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus, and a destiny beyond imagination. Dear God, we pray that you would help us to focus our lives on you and on what you have done, and that you would inspire us with visions of how things can be when we take off the old and in your name, and because of our faith in you, put on the new person, and that you would always help us to see our eternal destination. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. A song of dedication this morning is in the faith we sing. It's number 2223, and it's "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." So, stand in faith. Thank you. opportunity to come to worship you today. And we are thankful for the beauty and wonder of this day. And as you send us out into it, we pray that you would send us out with the new self, dressed with the new person, in the name of Christ.